A number of years ago now, we took the family on a trip to Taupo. I was cycling around Lake Taupo doing the cycle challenge, and we'd worked that day on a Friday. I had worked, and work, of course, went late. So we arrived at the camping ground at about 10 in the evening, the top 10 holiday park in Taupo. So at 10 in the evening with grizzly children, and one of our kids was still a little baby, we were trying to put up a tent in the dark, holding torches, trying to put up this tent. It wasn't the most successful enterprise. But all of a sudden, in the darkness, an angel appeared. Not a literal angel, but an angel, someone who was sent to help us, literally a godsend. This man, and I don't even think we caught his name, came and helped us put up this tent. It was done in a flash, and then just as quickly he disappeared into the darkness. A tremendous help in a time of a little bit of need. Now, I haven't seen this man again. I don't know, I don't know his name. But it would be handy, wouldn't it? Every time we needed to put up a tent, if he appeared to help us. But that's not the way it works. But here this evening, as we consider the Apostles' Creed, we are considering another godsend. The work of the Holy Spirit. Someone who's been sent by, as we shall see, God the Father and God the Son. Someone who doesn't just come and help us from time to time, but someone who is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Someone who walks alongside us. Someone who lives in us spiritually. This evening, as we look at Romans 8, we're going to be looking at the help we have through the Holy Spirit in our lives. This evening, we're going to see the Holy Spirit frees us from death to life. That's the main idea I want you to take away this evening. In Romans 8, verse 1, we read this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this evening we're going to see how that is true. How is it true? How is it possible that there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus? And we're going to do so this evening through 3 points. And boys and girls, to help you pay attention, these 3 points are this. The Holy Spirit works in our past. The Holy Spirit works in our present. And then finally, the Holy Spirit works in our future, yes. So first of all this evening, the Holy Spirit works in our past. In Romans chapter 7, Paul has been speaking about the struggle that the Christian has with sin. The struggle that he had, that many Christians have from time to time in their lives. He says those words, those famous words there in chapter 7, Romans 7 verse 15, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." You can just hear the internal struggle that Paul is having in his life. He wants to do good, but he struggles to do it. It leads him to claim in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And his answer straight away in verse 25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Romans 7 speaks about the struggle that Christians can have. But thankfully, Paul doesn't stop in Romans 7. In Romans 8, he continues to speak about the victory we can have in this life, the wonderful life that we can have because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And Paul, here in this short section, outlines the work of the Holy Spirit. He outlines the reasons why in verse 1 there is no condemnation. And the reason there is no condemnation is because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And he begins there in verse 2 by speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit. He says there, For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Speaking here about the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, in opposition to the powerlessness of the law that cannot set you free. The ability of the Holy Spirit to save us compared to the law of Moses that cannot save us. But this phrase, Spirit of life, has special meaning. It takes us right back to the beginning. Can anyone tell me, where is the Holy Spirit first mentioned in the Bible? Can anyone tell me? Genesis? Genesis 1? Verse what? Verse 2, close. It's verse 2. It's there in the beginning. Right in the beginning. In the beginning it says, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Paul takes his readers, his hearers, back to creation. Reminds them that the Holy Spirit was at work in creation. The Holy Spirit is at work also in recreation. He works together with the rest of the Trinity to set us free from the law of sin and death, to set us free from our sin. And that's what he's talking about here in this passage. Christ's death sets us free. Verse 3 and following. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. This is speaking there of God, God the Father. What did God the Father do? Second half of verse 3. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He sent Jesus Christ to pay for sin. Sending his own Son, it says, in the likeness of sinful flesh. What does Paul mean here? The likeness of sinful flesh. Well, he has to be very careful how he uses his words here. If he would say that he sent Jesus Christ, his Son, in the likeness of flesh, then people would say, hang on, Paul, are you saying there that Jesus Christ wasn't man? He just was like man? If he said, and so that's why he says here instead, the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus Christ was like us, like sinful flesh. He suffered the effects of sin on his flesh, but he himself was sinless. As the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we do not have a great our high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. God sent Jesus Christ as God, but also as man, so that we would be free from condemnation. Jesus Christ, who condemned sin for us, who condemned sin in the flesh, as it says there at the end of verse 3. Jesus Christ, who, going on into verse 4, who fulfills all the requirements of the law on our behalf. So that as God looks at us, if we're in Jesus Christ, he sees the perfect, full, complete obedience and righteousness of Jesus Christ as our righteousness. And that means that we no longer serve the old master. Christ has obtained freedom from condemnation for us. And the Holy Spirit makes that true. He makes it a reality for us. And that is something, brothers and sisters, friends, that has already happened in the past. If there was such a thing as eternal Facebook, we won't have Facebook in heaven, I'm sure, but eternal Facebook, if we can put it like that way, your status would be in a relationship permanently with Jesus Christ. A relationship status that will never, ever change if you are in him. And that means we should look at ourselves in a different light. It means that we aren't defined by the sins that we do. That our sins can't control us. We're not murderers. We're not adulterers. We're not parent disobeyers. We're not thieves. We are children of Jesus Christ. and we shouldn't let anyone tell us otherwise. The devil likes to do that, doesn't he? Look at you. You sinner. Look at what you've just done. You don't deserve to be one of God's children. And we can answer, yes, devil. You're right. I don't deserve to be one of God's children, but I am anyway. We can say with Paul in Galatians 2, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Holy Spirit in our past has made that a reality for us. And that changes how we walk, how we live, as the Holy Spirit helps us in the now, bringing us to our second point this evening. The Holy Spirit works in our present. Paul goes on in verses 5 through 9 to speak about mindset, the perspective of who we are, our identity, but also how we live, and uses three parallels through these verses. He says there in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? What are the things that the world sees as important? Money, sex, power, relationships, sport, living in the here and now, indulging various sins, being satisfied, looking after number one, getting what you can for yourself, often at the expense of others. We'll contrast that with the mind of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, things that Paul refers to in verse 23, and now not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. And when you think of the things of the Spirit, the thing that should come to your mind is the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Say them together with me this evening. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Good, you're still awake, you're still with me this evening. Well done. The mind of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, are those the things that fill our mind? As people look at us, can they see the Holy Spirit at work, the fruits of the Spirit being lived out in our lives? I have to confess that I don't think about those things enough. But the Holy Spirit is working those things in my life. And even when I fail to display those fruits, when I display the opposite fruits, I can still go back to my Savior. And none of that can change my status of who I am because of the Holy Spirit's work in my past. Paul continues with his contrast. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. The end result of living, setting your mind on the flesh, living in the world, is death. No exceptions. Not one. But yet, in the Spirit, we have life and we have peace. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles open, to Philippians chapter 4. A passage we know well, I'm sure. Philippians chapter 4. Keep your hand there keep your hand in Romans 8. But Philippians 4, verses 6 and following. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do we obtain that peace? How does that peace come to us? Paul goes on in verse 8 and following. Finally, brothers, we can read there, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The Holy Spirit helps us to think on those things. to live those things. The Holy Spirit works in our life. He is a comforter, as we read in John 14, John 15 and 16. He leads us into truth. He is a guide. He is a helper to walk alongside us. The Holy Spirit helps us when we pray, as we read in Romans chapter 8 this evening. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, Romans 8 verse 26. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you don't know what to pray, when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for you. But verses 7 and 8 make it very clear, Romans chapter 8. If you do not have Jesus Christ, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, then you are an enemy of God. You cannot keep his will. You will not keep his will. You cannot please God. Now, some people can be pretty hard to please, can't they? No matter what you do, you can't seem to please them. You can't seem to get it right. Well, brothers and sisters, in and of ourselves, it's impossible for us to please God. God is impossible to please because he is perfect, and he demands perfection of his creatures. And we can't have perfection without Jesus Christ. But with Jesus Christ, because of the work of his Holy Spirit, we don't have to earn his acceptance. We don't have to keep his acceptance, because Christ has done that for us. And note that with these contrasts here in Romans chapter 8, there's no in between. There's no third option. There's no sitting on the fence. You either belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to God the Father, or you don't. There's either life or there's death. So where do you belong this evening? Who do you belong to? Do you belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you committed to him? Do you realize that if you are not, you are an enemy of God? You are hostile to him? How does that make you feel this evening? But the good news is that you don't have to be an enemy of God. The good news is that because of the work of Jesus Christ, you are welcome to come to him. You could come to him anytime, anyhow. And as you come to Jesus Christ, as you offer and place yourself at his mercy, he will always say, welcome. Welcome. Paul continues with an encouragement in verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's saying, that's not you, Romans. You are in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in you. A reminder that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. The Holy Spirit is at work in our present, making us more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ, growing in faith. But there's a final aspect of the Holy Spirit. Boys and girls, have you been paying attention? The Holy Spirit works in our past, in our present, and he works in our future. That's right, he works in our future. And we see that in verses 10 and through 11 in our final point this evening. We can have peace now in this life, but we also can look forward to eternal peace in our future. Paul says there in verse 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, speaking here about death, even if we have Christ, we are still going to die. The body will die if our Lord doesn't return. But even though our bodies die, we can know that we have eternal life. The fact that we're all going to die is a reality. And you can almost say at the present that we are all slowly dying, slowly decaying. When we're born, we're like a new car. You know that new car, wonderful smell? I think sometimes they spray it into cars, even in a used car lot, but you know the smell. And the car looks pristine. If you have leather seats, they're all perfect. There's no smudges on the windscreen. The tires are all nice and clean. But it doesn't take long, does it? You have the children or the grandchildren in the back of the car and they spill some Coke in the back seat. You park at Countdown and some well-meaning person backs into the bumper. Parts wear out. The seats start to sag. And isn't that like us? We slowly wear out. We slowly grow older. We slowly are more frail. That's the reality in which we live in. But that's not the end, brothers and sisters. The time is coming that our bodies will be renewed when Jesus returns through the work of the Holy Spirit again. How do we know that? Paul tells us that here in verses 10 and 11. Who is it that raised Jesus from the dead, Paul asks, or Paul tells? He says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, there in verse 11. Who is the him? Well, it's God the Father. The Spirit not only came or was sent from Jesus Christ, he was sent from God the Father. The same Spirit who was at work in creation in Genesis 1 raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and Paul says it's the same Holy Spirit that's going to be at work in us and raise us from the dead. How's that going to work? What does that look like? Well, we're not sure exactly of the mechanics, but we have a picture in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there with me now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we slowly draw things to a close this evening. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Paul describes what's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, death no longer has a sting. It tells us here that death has been conquered. Death no longer has victory over us. But that's not actually true. That's not what our passage reads here. It's only when Jesus returns that we shall be able to say, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Because death still hurts now, doesn't it? Death certainly still has a sting. But a time is coming when it no longer will. The time is coming when we will have new bodies. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. No more aches, no more struggles. All will be made right. It's the Holy Spirit together with God the Son, God the Father that makes that possible for us. The reality of who we are, the Holy Spirit working in our past. No condemnation because we belong, we are identified with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit at work in us in the present now, making us new, helping us, walking alongside us, and that glorious future that will be ours again because of the Holy Spirit at work. This evening, I simply want you to take that in and appreciate it. There's no, this is what you must do, but simply enjoy, be reminded of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in you, and stay the course. I leave this last word, the last word this evening to the Apostle Paul in that last verse that we didn't read in 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen. Amen.